I would guess if they have a year, not, you know, I'm not saying they have to go to the NFC Championship game, but if they have a year where the offense is top 10 and all that, I would probably guess this is his last year here. I think his options last year were not as great as people think. If the Bengals have a rough year this year, does Cliff Kingsbury, would that job be interesting if they fire Zach Taylor? If Dallas, you know, Dak Prescott's obviously a pretty good quarterback, but like if somehow Brian Schottenheimer is a one and done, you know, a Texas guy like Cliff Kingsbury, I'm sure will be very interested if Jerry Jones gives him a call. So a job like that has a young quarterback or a proven quarterback, that's where he's going. I don't think he's just taking a job for the sake of taking a job.
It was Ben Standing just a few minutes ago right here on Grant and Danny. Toby's in for Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. We'll take you up to 6:30 tonight. Commanders rookie linebacker Kane Medrano's on the show coming up at 6 o'clock. I completely agree with Ben's take there, Toby. If you're Cliff Kingsbury, you've got two reasons why you need to be very selective about leaving here to be a head coach somewhere else. Number one, you've got Jaden Daniels. And whether you're a head coach or a play-calling offensive coordinator, it really doesn't matter. The goal is to be with a QB who has a chance to win Super Bowls in hardware. Because either as a head coach, you get to the top of your profession and you can make $20 million a year, or as a coordinator, you're ultimately going to get a really, really good gig. So to leave Jaden Daniels to coach the Saints, who are going to be arguably the worst team in the conference this year, wouldn't have made a lot of sense, and it's why he pulled his name from that possibility. And Kellen Moore took the job, by the way, which I was a little bit surprised by.
Do you think it is different because he's been a head coach before? So maybe there's not an urgency. You know, if you're going to be a head coach for the first time, sometimes you feel like, okay, I just got to do it, right? I got to be able to have that opportunity, and now it's here, so I got to take it. If you're Cliff, you've done this before. He also, by the way, I think hates some of the head coaching responsibilities. Being in charge of the full football team, I don't think he hates that as much, but being DQ talks to the media every day. I think he hates talking to the media. The fact that he talks once or twice a week, I think he loves that. And so certain aspects of it, I think he kind of enjoys, to the point that if the job isn't perfect for him, where he, like you said, the quarterback situation or whatever the roster's looking like, I think he can be selective. And we've seen this before with guys in good spots. See Ben Johnson, right? Where he had opportunities multiple years and said, I'm good. And then he saw the Chicago job open up and felt that was his best opportunity and took it. I think Cliff might do a similar sort of thing here. Now, if one of those jobs, like you mentioned, opens up, whether it's Dallas or Cincinnati, if you get an established quarterback, I don't know how you could say no to that. But unless he gets that, I could see him sticking around.
I'm glad you bring up Ben Johnson, because what he did was pretty unprecedented. As a guy who'd never been a head coach before, to be as selective as he was, to tell teams no over and over again, to have Josh Harris and Mitch Rails and the ownership group in the air on the way to Detroit, second interview style, where you're the front runner and they're ready to offer you the job, and you go, actually, don't fly here. And they go, dude, we're in the air. We're on the way there. Like, he screwed a lot of the searches up for teams, and I think specific to Washington, there's a little bit of bad blood after the way that that went down. But he had never taken a job, to your point, and he just kind of kept assuming they're always going to be there. I just keep doing my thing with Jared Goff and the Lions. We're going to keep scoring points. I'll run up 40 and 50 on teams. I'll run my trick plays. And one year, I'm going to take the job when I get the gig that I want. And as you said, that happened to be working with number one overall pick a year removed, Caleb Williams. But yeah, the question you asked, I think, is a no-doubter. You said, is it different for Cliff Kingsbury because he's had a job before? 1,000%, but maybe not for the reason you suggested. I think it's 100% different for a guy like him because he's been a head coach before for this reason. You're probably only getting one more shot. So you did it, you failed, and that's probably overstated, but you got fired after a few years where things went backwards. When you look back at Arizona, what he got out of Kyler Murray, the way the offense operated as a play caller, like, it wasn't all bad. They did some good things. They competed.
They were good
West
every year at the beginning of the year.
Dude, first half of the season champions, like 3 years in a row. Yeah. I think they were like 10-1 or something crazy at one point with Cliff. But I think, you know, you probably don't get three chances as a head coach. You get two. So you've got to be extra careful about where you take your second shot. The New Orleans gig, for that reason, would have been a mess. You still got to find a quarterback. Yeah. You're hoping that you're positioned to draft one this coming year. It makes all the sense in the world to me he didn't take that job. I wonder about the Chicago Bears gig. Had they have prioritized him over Ben Johnson? I'm just making this up, but let's say they felt good enough about Caleb Williams that ownership and polls go to Caleb, and he's like, I love Cliff. Let's go get Cliff. If he was their guy, would he have said no? I don't know. We'll never know. But I do think that he wants to be a head coach again. I remember being told early last offseason that he's very interested in interviewing with the right team. I just don't think the right situation presented itself. Which brings me to my next point, which is, how big of a deal would it be if they lost him? I mean, I've always kind of feared the idea with the defensive-minded coach that you're going to lose the OC.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some guys that are so special that nothing matters. Like, we could debate till we're blue in the face about talent around Jaden Daniels. He might just be good enough that it doesn't matter. We could talk about the age of the team and should they have gotten younger? Should they do this? If you've got Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, you just win. Like, the rest of it is just furniture in the
room.
You've got
the most important thing, yeah.
And if Jaden's as good as it looked last year, if he's a top five quarterback in the league for the next decade who's going to win hardware as an individual, as an MVP, and ultimately wear a gold jacket, then coordinator shouldn't matter and won't matter nearly as much. And I'm not saying that convincingly we know that Jaden's that guy, but there's a chance he is after last year, and that's exciting because you're probably going to lose Cliff.
Yeah, for me, it was more important that you kept him for this season than any other, because if he leaves after this year, he's had 2 years under his belt, presumably two good years, and now, I mean, you already heard the discussion of Jaden kind of taking more ownership this year and kicking guys out of the huddle. Imagine 2 years under his belt in an NFL offense, and you bring someone in and you can kind of say, hey, let's base a little bit off of this, off of Cliff's. Let's do a little bit of stuff that's similar to Cliff's, but he can kind of put his own taste on things, his own spin on things. And so to me, it's so important to have that continuity year one to year two, because you've done it once. Now you got to be able to do it again. Once you've done it twice, to me, you're kind of establishing yourself, and you're still working on that year in, year out. Not to say that you're not going to have ups and downs, but once you've done it twice, then you're much more comfortable. Then you're much more established. So having him back for the second season, pretty much to me, anything can happen after. If Cliff leaves after this year, if Cliff stays, great, whatever it may be. But assuming Jaden has a good year this year, it's not a big deal for me if Cliff were to leave.
Another thing I've been thinking a lot about, too, on the Cliff Kingsbury front is there were so many questions about him coming in. And I was very skeptical. I know a lot of people
were
dubious about Kingsbury off of the Arizona gig. Then he leaves the country. Then he goes to college at USC as an advisor, right? How much of last year was Daniels helping Kingsbury as a, you know, rehabilitating him? But we now view him right now, this moment, as one of the best coordinators, play designers, play callers in the league very quickly again. If he's running the Cleveland Browns with some version of Joe Flacco and Dylan Gabriel, it goes without saying it would get a lot worse because it's the most important position. Now you've gone from elite at quarterback to substandard. But what is that marriage? I know that he made Jaden Daniels better. It goes, I think, pretty obviously, easily said, that Jaden Daniels made him better. There's no real way to know it, but we still debate Brady and Belichick all these years later. There's no way to really figure that out, but it's something eventually we might find out. You know, we're going to see with Detroit without Ben Johnson what that looks like. Let's go to Shane in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Shane? How are you?
What's going on, Shane?
Toby, Grant, how you guys doing today?
Good, man.
Hey, look, here's the thing. If he does take another coaching job somewhere, that means our offense succeeded, right? That means he's done his job here, right? So that's good for us. That means our offense is moving forward. Two good years with Jaden Daniels, that's good. He's the offensive guru. We see what he's done last year with Jaden as a rookie. Great, right? But at the same time, change is also bad, right, because you got a new system coming in. Now he's got to learn another thing. And the worst thing for, of course, like, look at Jason Campbell, for example. He had, 1,500 friggin' offensive coordinators. At some point, that's going to hurt. Yeah, success is great, but sometimes it could hurt you at the same time. So his growth is important right now with Jaden Daniels. Yeah, year one, let's don't make him the greatest quarterback of all time right now. Let's take it year by year. The promise is there. I think he's going to be a fantastic star in this league, if not one of the best quarterbacks in the league in the future. But right now, let's just slow it down. But all signs are good. Let's just go there and just – but the concern still is defense, though, but –
defense has to play better. There's no doubt about it. Thanks, Shane. The offense is going to be really good. I was standing on the sideline today with must have been David Aldridge, I think. One of the guys I was talking to during practice, and I'm like, This team's going to be pretty good, huh? We're just watching practice. And mm-hmm. I mean, Jaden Daniels is so accurate and makes so many throws. And his point, I think, accurately, and this is not breaking news, but he's like, they're going to be elite offensively. Like, if everyone's healthy, they should be very, very good on offense. Can they get pass rush? Can the defense be average? Because if it's an average defense, like, I think they have a 12-win offense. Do they have a 9-win defense? Because if you do, now you're talking about 10, 11 wins. If it's a 7-win, 8-win defense,
yeah.
Now you're talking about fringe playoff team that's scratching and clawing. Somebody in the chat here, 106.7 The Fan YouTube page, you can, of course, listen on the Odyssey app or over the air on 106.7 and in Richmond on AM 910 at FM 105.1. Somebody pointed out the depth chart that they've built in terms of offensive coaches in the event that Kingsbury walks, which is a great strength of Quinn's. I give him a lot of credit for this because he learned a hard lesson in Atlanta. Kyle Shanahan rolled out, took all of his assistants with him, and he didn't have a plan. And his entire regime cratered after that, and it's why he got fired. So now you've got Brian Johnson, who's been an OC. You got David Blau, who's a rising star, former quarterback. You've got Tavita Pritchard, who's been the quarterback's coach here since before Dan Quinn got here. He was here in the previous regime with Rivera. And then you got, I guess it's those four guys with Cliff that are Anthony Lynn is obviously
yep.
experienced, but I'm thinking more just like OC candidates. But yeah, he's a guy that has been a head coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
My guess is if Kingsbury were to get a head coaching job, he would handpick one of these guys to bring with him as his OC because that's an elevated role. So let's just say you lose the rock star David Blau, and then Kingsbury and Blau are in Cincinnati with Joe Burrow or whatever. Now you've got Brian Johnson and Tavita Pritchard left on offense. I'm just making this up as I go. Very, very different on paper, but at least you've got multiple guys that have been in the building with JD
correct.
The whole time.
Yeah, and I think, too, to your point about Jaden making Cliff better and Cliff making Jaden better, I think it worked better with Jaden because he's obviously better than Kyler Murray, but Jaden can run Cliff's offense. And what I mean by that is it's not always off schedule. You hear all the reports out of Chicago right now where Ben Johnson's over there. Boy wonder, everybody loves his offense. Caleb doesn't run anyone's offense. Caleb runs Caleb's offense, which
it's
is
like
all
5 of 17 yeah. in their 11 in their live
yeah.
practice.
And so Caleb runs everything off script, right? The perfect part when you get a marriage like this is Jaden executes what Cliff draws up, and when what Cliff draws up doesn't work, Jaden just goes into the backyard and makes something of it. So I think he's, in a sense, like I said, you need him for that second year so you can kind of cement it. But if you have a coordinator who can draw up a working offense, I think Jaden can make it work with anybody. You know, you look back to Brian Johnson, someone you mentioned in Philly, and there were issues with his ability to pick up a blitz with his offense. Could Jaden make that work if he becomes the OC? Probably, as long as he's, you know, putting together schemes that get wide receivers open and stuff. I think Jaden can make it work with just about any coordinator because he can play on schedule and he can play off schedule. So as long as you have that second year where now Jaden's really comfortable in his own skin in the league, I think going forward, regardless of what happens, if you get a guy that can draw up offense, Jaden can make it work.
It's just not an ideal situation. I mean, if he's good enough above a threshold of just superstar, platinum, elite, blue chipper, then, as you said, nothing really matters.
But
nothing will affect
him. I think the thing that gets you worried is, okay, say he has a good year this year, right? Cliff leaves. Say they have a good year the next year. Brian Johnson leaves. And then you're all of a sudden in this.
Well, that's the cycle.
Exactly.
That's the problem. When you have a star quarterback and you have a defensive-minded head coach, it's going to happen.
Correct.
You have to constantly. It's nice one-off to build 4 or 5 offensive coaches at the beginning. You always have to have another that you're elevating, some 25-year-old tight ends coach who's now a hotshot OC in mm-hmm. waiting. And that'll be the only way to make it work if you're Dan Quinn. It's not easy, but if you're going to try to thread the needle of the defensive-minded head coach, there's a reason a lot of teams try to avoid it. Quinn's been excellent since they hired him. This is one of the drawbacks to the culture builder that everybody, you know, loves. And they're going to have to figure that part out as they go.